It's the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. Texans are familiar with Juneteenth, the day commemorating the emancipation of slaves in Galveston, some 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. The story that's less widely known is the journey that happened afterwards, the migration of freed slaves from Galveston to Houston on what became known as the Emancipation Trail. Now the National Park Service is studying that route to potentially designate it as a National Historic Trail. The study is currently in the comment period until the end of March. The proposal is based in large part on the research of Naomi Mitchell Carrier. She's founder of the Texas Center for African American Living History in Houston, and she joins us now. Naomi, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am fine, and it's great to have you on the broadcast. Before we get into the specifics of the trail, tell us a little bit more about your organization and what y'all do.
The Texas Center for African American Living History documents, interprets, and preserves African American history from the African American perspective of a woman.
Of a woman.
Yes.
You run the show there for the most part, hands-on?
Well, I have become a principal investigator of all of this history that determines what we do when we were emancipated. But most of my work, such as that's in my book, Go Down, Old Hannah, is the living history of African-American Texans that was left out of textbooks. Mm-hmm. And I've written 5 historic plays that were reenactments at the sites that they were written for, like Texas Parks and Wildlife, Sam Houston Museum, Brazoria County. So we reenact African-American Texas history.
Well, could you tell us a wee bit about the story of the Emancipation Trail? Obviously, it's quite a long saga, and people really need to go to the Center for African-American Living History in Houston to learn more. But give us a glimpse. What are we talking about, and why is it so historically significant?
Well, we're talking about a trail or a route that was established by historic use, and it must be historically significant as a result of that use. It's all the facts that we can locate, such as trade, commerce, exploration, migration, and settlement, that contributed to the emancipation and freedom of African American slaves.
How did you go about figuring out the path that it followed?
That was a little challenging, but what we found was that there were several ways in which these people immigrated from Galveston. There was the railroad, then there was the land route, and there were water routes. We are estimating that many of them crossed the bay on the railroad. They would have known what the schedule of the railroad was. And then the railroad is parallel to Highway 3, which was the highway from Galveston to Houston before we had Interstate 45. And then there were also trail routes that they followed, the waterways, the rivers, the places that there had been some settlement prior to emancipation.
Yes.
So they used all of these routes to travel. But what we have to remember is that immigration out of Galveston into Houston was dangerous. The enslaved people, once they were emancipated, were encouraged to stay put, not to leave where they were. Mm. We're talking about approximately 300,000 people in Texas, and they were encouraged to remain enslaved because that's a tremendous workforce. Mm-hmm. So it was through all 3 of those routes, land, water, and railroad, that these people left Galveston coming into the Houston area, settling in Freedmanstown, and many of them settling in Independence Heights and in and around Emancipation Park.
The legislation, we should mention, to study this trail for potential NPS designation was really based primarily on your research. What drew you to this project in the first place?
Well, our Congresswoman, Sheila Jackson Lee, asked me to do some research on the number of historic sites between Galveston and Houston. Mm-hmm. And so my research first took me to Birmingham, rent a car, drive from Selma to Montgomery and studied the Selma to Montgomery Trail. Their trail led to the Voting Rights Act, but our trail comes after a piece of legislation or emancipation, the Emancipation Proclamation. So I itemized five, there were 40 sites that already had historical markers between Galveston's Reedy Chapel and Freedmanstown. And so that became the basis of the legislation that our Congresswoman wrote.
If one were to want to try to actually follow part of this trail, can you do it today, or is that possible?
2 years ago, we had an emancipation bike ride, and people rode their bikes from Pier 21 in Galveston to Houston's Emancipation Park. So yes, you can do it today. We're talking about a little over 51 miles, maybe about 60 miles, depending on what detours you want to take. But yes, you can still travel that today.
Why do you see it as so important that this trail receive federally recognized status? I mean, you mentioned that the historical significance of it coming after, you know, a law was passed and signed by the president, of course. But here, you know, it seems like this is obviously a passion project for you, and it could mean a lot to Texas as well.
Texas is not considered as a slave state, even though it was the seventh state to secede from the Union. We think of Texas as the beginning of the Wild West or the American West. We think of it as cowboys and hats, and we do not think of Texas as a slave state, but it was a slave state. In fact, it was the largest of the slave states. This is the home of King Cotton and the Texas Sugar Bowl. And so this Emancipation Trail allows us an opportunity to interpret the importance of African peoples, that they contributed to the economy of the people in power. And those stories, many of them have not been told. And so this is what this study is going to allow us to do. Who are the families that came? Who are the families that were able to reconnect? Or were there families that came exactly from Galveston into Houston? And more importantly, the crux of the slavery empire was in Brazoria County and Fort Bend. So there were people who were coming from Brazoria, Fort Bend, all over the Brazos Colorado River Valley into Houston and settling at Freedmanstown. And then once that district spilled over into Third Ward and Independence Heights. We want to tell those stories, and we want to document those stories. We want to tell the importance of Africans to the economy of Texas, which at the beginning of the Civil War, cotton was 70% of America's GDP.
By the way, when will you know for sure? Do you have a timeline for this?
The study should be complete in the fall of 2023, and then whatever they learn about this process will be in a report to the Congress, and then the Congress will have to act on that with a management plan. And then that's when they really get down to the nuts and bolts of what sites are going to be along the way for recreation and for people to stop and learn the history of those particular sites.
Naomi Mitchell Carrier is founder of the Texas Center for African American Living History. Naomi, thanks so much for your time, and congratulations on all the work that you've accomplished so far.
Thank you, sir. It's been my pleasure.